Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to LiveDeliverance.com here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And if you're listening to us through the simulcast during the hours of 9 to 11 o'clock p.m. on the time slots here on Monday evenings, we're glad to have you. But if you're listening to us on any other social media platforms or any other times during the week, please contact us here at LiveDeliverance.com and give us the times, the dates, and the platforms that you might have heard us on. Although we would love to proliferate the airways, we must do it legally, ethically, and in righteousness. If you hear us, our content through any other means, it is a result of piracy and copyright infringement. And all those who participate in any internet piracy can be persecuted by federal agents. And having said all of that, now we can get down to the kingdom business. So go ahead and get a pen and some paper. And if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, at the end of the ministry, we will give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. So now, if you would, I'd like to go ahead and have you join me as I sanctify our time together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of your mouth, the words of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of your grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to deal with because he said so, part three. And I will do a little quick kind of a review to try to catch some of you up that might not have been here last time. And then we'll just go ahead and get get into the meat of where we're going to be today. Because he said so. You know, the word of God in the heart of a believer becomes a declaration of faith and victory. But God has given us faith as a language and an exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we don't fully understand the word or how to get the word into our heart. Yes, it's true that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is also true that the enemy of our soul has a battle plan. And Jesus told us about this battle plan in Mark chapter 4. So let's just go there and kind of look at that, verses 13 through 20. Jesus said unto them, talking to his disciples, know you not this parable? Then how will you not also know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these likewise, which are sown on stony ground, which when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, but so endure but for a time, and afterwards when affliction, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So we want to be able to participate in the plan of God as he ministers the word. We want to be those that hear it and bring forth fruit. It said that the battle plan that the devil has been using has been effective. This is in Jesus' day up till today, okay? It was happening before then. Jesus just delineated it so that we would know it. He says that after the word is sown, immediately the thief comes to take the word that was sown out of their hearts. And I just want you to know, I've been saying that there were five things that the devil can use to get the word out. I'm sorry, we're going to look at it again here. Jesus named six things that the devil can use. One, persecution. Two, affliction. Three, offense. I had never thought about that before, hearing it, because it says that this is the way it goes, that they hear the word, they receive it with gladness, but because they have no root in themselves and don't endure before a time, that afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, it says immediately they are offended. So I didn't think of offense, because if we have persecution, generally we're going to get a little upset about that, aren't we? If we have a hard time or affliction, we're going to get a little upset about that, aren't we? Sometimes we get upset with people. Sometimes we even get so bold or stupid, if you would, to get upset with God. You know, a lot of times we blame God for the situations in our life. I just want to help you out. God had nothing to do with what you sowed in your life. Amen. That was completely you doing that. It wasn't even the devil doing that. It didn't say that the devil came and sowed into your life. There is a verse that says that while we slept, the enemy came in and sowed into our field. That's not our heart. That's our field. That's the stuff we're believing to get fruit from. Okay? We say, well, I did this, so I expect good. But then the devil comes in that field and sows tares. Okay? That's different from what we have in our heart. Okay? Because when you are offended, that's in your heart. When you are believe that you're going through something unnecessarily, that's in your heart. Okay? So that's, we want to look at this, because God has given us everything that we need, beloved. He's already given us his word. He sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from all of our fears and destructions. But if we don't turn things over to him, then we will continue to nurse those fears. We will continue to fuss or complain about those destructions that are set before us. Because I'm learning more and more that what the devil meant for evil, God wants to turn it for good. He meant it for good. If he says no weapon formed against me shall prosper, he means that. He did not say there will not be a weapon formed. He did say that it would not prosper. See? So we've got to begin to differentiate so that we can stop the devil from messing up what we should be enjoying. Okay? We've been given all things richly to enjoy. Come on, y'all. Ooh, Lord Jesus, richly to enjoy. That means I can enjoy it today. I can enjoy it tomorrow. I can enjoy it the next day. I can enjoy it all day. He said richly to enjoy. Amen. Amen. See, so we're going to have to begin to take the word, and then what I would recommend is that we dissect the word, or what the Bible says, rightly divide the word, okay, so that we can then grow in it, okay, because if we take the milk and then use the milk, it says that we would grow thereby, okay, then you'll get to the place where you'll enjoy and partake of meat, and you get to enjoy that. Richly, you'll begin to, oh yes, Lord, you'll begin to come to the place where your expectation is only of good. Hallelujah. See, because that's all he wants you to enjoy, is the good. Amen. It's called the gospel, beloved. That's good news. See, we're going to have to grow past the thought process that we had, heard, or grew up with about God having a lightning bolt queued up, ready to zap us. We're going to have to outgrow that because he's good all the time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? So it was good news that Jesus came and redeemed us. He is daily, okay, so that we get it, he's daily watching over us to do good. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be overflowing with blessing. He daily loads us down with benefit. Okay? Jesus said it, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. They might have that life more abundantly. That would be to the full, nothing missing, nothing broken. See? So God's not the one trying to cause injury, hurt, harm, or danger in your life. The thief comes to do that. See? And then we agree with the enemy and we'll say, well, because I'm being persecuted, God's doing it. No. He said the devil comes. Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in their heart, and he's going to use these six things, persecution, affliction, and offense. Okay, that's three of them. Then it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Just as an understanding, he says he sends down the cares of this world and the lust of other things and the deceitfulness of riches, that they have to do something. They have to enter in. Amen. See, if you just have them swirling around, they can't hurt you. It has been said that birds fly in the sky, but they don't have to make a nest in your head. In other words, if you don't let them land, they ain't going to trouble you. Amen. See, I'm not, don't try to stop the birds from flying around my head. That's their domain. In my head, that's a whole nother place. I'm supposed to be the custodian of my thoughts. See, so they ain't got no business in my head. See, if I can keep the enemy out of my thoughts, I can keep him out of my life. Because as a man thinketh, that's where you find the man. See? So then if I can keep him out of my thoughts, I can keep him out of my life. And when I say keep him out of my thoughts, I don't mean that there will not be an understanding given to you about what the attack is. Okay? That's God revealing to you what the devil's trying to do. That doesn't put him in my thoughts. That comes to me, that should come to me by revelation, not by my thoughts. Okay? When the devil is in my thoughts, then I have thoughts of revenge, retaliation, hurt, harm, or danger. See? That's him messing with me in my thoughts. Because again, if he said no weapon formed against me will prosper, that's what I should meditate on. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. See, I need to think on these things that are pure, if there be any praise, any virtue. See, those are the things I should think on. See, I can visit the reason why the devil is attacking me. I can visit that. Oh, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. I can visit that. I don't have to stay there. See, when I begin to judge that this person is trying to do this, all right, I'll help you with that. If I begin to judge that this person is doing that, I didn't say that there was no revelation. This is different. Judgment is not a revelation. When God gives me a judgment, he's trying to cause me to be able to make a decree because this is what he said, okay? But here I am, if I'm going to judge that they must be, okay, now that didn't come from God. God doesn't tell me a must be. All right, you can help yourself with some English right here. God does not talk to me in a must be. Amen. He doesn't talk in shadows. There's no shadow of turning in him. Okay, so he doesn't talk to me in shadows. This must be what they, no. He will tell you specifically, this is what is happening. Why? Because then he will give you what to do to resolve that. Amen. If I got a must be working on, then I might have three or four solutions. Amen. See, I'm trying to give clarity to you so that the more you practice this, the less time you will waste. I'll say it that way. Because you will have an understanding, an unction from the Lord, an anointing, the Bible says. See, because Jesus was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come around to just tell you what the devil, come on now, come on. For this cause was the Son of Man manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is not just telling on the devil. Come on, let's try it that way. See? He is giving you strategies whereby you can win. Guaranteed strategies whereby you can win. He always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. See, he's not just interested in giving you an account of what he thinks. The Bible says it this way, that every word of God is tried, tested seven times, purified. Okay? So then he's not just trying to say, well, you know, you better get ready for this because you never do know. No. He does not want you to be ignorant. Okay? So he's trying to give you information that would cause you to win every time, all the time. so then you can right quickly discern whether it's you or God. If the conversation gives you your steps that you should take unto victory, that would be God. But if it's just something that is wasting your time with idle words and conversation, that's probably you. That's probably a flesh. Your flesh or somebody else's flesh that you're partaking of. Okay? See? His thoughts are thoughts of peace that will cause you to be able to win. Okay? Because his thoughts, since they're thoughts of peace, as it says in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it says the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under your heel shortly. Ain't going to take no long time. It's going to be done shortly. That's why you can have confidence in the word of the Lord, because it's going to come to pass shortly. See? He's going to bruise Satan under your heel. That was the reason he sent his word, called, according to Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent the word to heal you and to deliver you. He didn't send his word just so you'll know what the attack is. Amen. See, he sent the word so that you can receive deliverance, so that you can walk in victory. He wants you to come out of darkness. Mm-hmm. So then if he wants you to come out of darkness and walk in the marvelous light, he's not going to leave you in darkness then, is he? Amen. I mean, just kind of Selah this. See, I'm trying to give you information that would allow you to keep the word working in your heart. See, that's what David said. He says, your word have I hid in my heart, so I will not sin against you. Please understand that sin is not just missing the mark. That is not the primary definition for sin. The primary definition for sin is to be without a portion. Okay? So when sin is present, you don't have what you need. You are without a portion. There should be no question that if you are without a portion, that you cannot win. You're missing the thing that you need to bring forth victory. So then that's why you should not be thinking the way the devil tries to tempt us and make us think. See, because he said he can only get the word out with those six things. Affliction, persecution, that, notice this, it arises. Okay. The devil said, I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High. That has to be him arising, coming up to a level that he should not be participating in, because you're supposed to have the devil under your feet, bruise his head shortly. See? So he's supposed to be under you. You can't bruise the head of the devil with other things other than your feet, because that's where God placed him. In Genesis chapter 3, it says that, the seed shall bruise your head, and you, devil, shall bruise his heel. See? So God is expecting that you're going to walk in victory. Stomp on the devil's head and get to your next level. That's about all the devil can do for us, really. If we would walk in the word, then all the devil can do is become the next support structure that we use to get to our victory. Instead of playing and toying with him, we walk on him. We mount up, okay? See? You don't have to continue. Beloved, you don't have to continue to go through the valley. Amen, amen, amen. He has made us to sit together in heavenly places far above. See, I don't have to keep going through the valley. Okay? And we've got to begin to settle these things in our spirit. See, because he said so. All I'm doing is quoting scripture. I'm not trying to give you a Stevie one. That ain't going to do you no good. So I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord. See? Because his word will last. It's sustainable. Glory to God. See? So other things that we've been using, we can just check them and see, are they sustainable? Did they bring me to a sustainable victory? See, his word will not return to him void. His word will prosper in the thing. You are the thing that God sent it to. See, it will prosper in the thing whereunto he has sent it. It will prosper there. It will accomplish that. Come on now. It will accomplish that which he has said. Didn't say it will make you feel good about what he said. His word was sent to do something, to cause change, effect change. Deliverance, that's change. Things look like they were headed this way, but now deliverance has come. It no longer goes this way. It goes where it was supposed to. It accomplishes that which he pleases. See? And he's pleased when you win. Glory to God. He's not pleased if you're not winning. And if you're not winning, come on now, let's just get to the point. If you're not winning, that's what we're trying to talk about because he said so. If you're not winning, then you're not doing what the word told you to do. I didn't say you're not doing what you know to do. That's not what I said. I said you're not doing what the word said do. Because there's been plenty of times I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was doing what was going to be necessary or correct. Well, if it was necessary, according to the scripture, it would be victory, according to the scripture. When I do Bible things, I get Bible results. His word will not return void. See? I mean, I'm not adding to the word. I am taking the word and allowing the word to expand my horizon, expand my understanding, give me enlightenment. See? That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not ever trying to get you to take a word and dismiss it. I'm not ever asking you to take a word of God and dismiss it. Let me try it that way. Say, because there are some words that we have that we need to thoroughly dismiss. Let go of, forget about forever. And I can appreciate that's the way your mama did it. That's the way your brother and them did it. Okay, that's good. But see, the scripture that I reference would be to follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. I didn't hear mama in there. I'm sorry. It didn't say follow me as your mama. No, follow me as I follow Christ. Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. See? He didn't even ask you to. And I mean, those are nice, cute songs. That we got the same faith that my mama had, the same faith that my grandmama had. No, I don't want that faith. I've got to exceed that, the Bible tells me. Jesus said that. Accept your faith. Exceed that of the. Mm-hmm. See? I'm not mad about what my mama had, what my grandmama had. Thank you for the connection to that. But if I'm going to be connected to where they were connected to, then I have to utilize what's now available to me. I don't utilize just what they had to get them there, because if I use what they had to get them there, all I can do is get to where they were. Amen. See, which is not bad, but that's not where I'm supposed to stay. I'm supposed to use their connection and build upon their connection, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's how the process is supposed to work. See? If we're going to just stay with what we heard 20 years ago, we're going to still be in the dimension that we were 20 years ago. I'll ask, since it's the word of God, which is our food, I'll ask you this. If you were eating on a meal for the last 20 years, do you think that meal is still any good? Amen. No, you would at least go and cook you some more bread. You would want some fresh manna, wouldn't you? But then why, when it comes to things of God, we kind of get goofy in our thinking. I appreciate everything my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother did. That's not going to be enough for this day. It's going to have to go to the next level. Has to. See, this is the way Jesus said it. He said, on the rock of revelation, he is going to build his church. And as he builds on the rock of revelation, he said there will be an easy way for us to understand if we're walking in that which he is building, because the gates of hell will not prevail against that revelation. Amen. I should not expect to go through the same thing my grandmama went through. Why? Because he's building on that gate. He's building on that revelation, and the gates cannot prevail. Come on now. Let's hear it. See? So if I'm still going through what I heard my grandmama going through, that means revelation has not entered my sphere, my spirit, my sphere of understanding. I'm going on a report that my grandmama had. I'm not mad about that. But whose report shall you believe? We're supposed to believe the report of the Lord. And as we believe the report of the Lord, we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. See? So I'm not discounting, throwing away what grandma did. I'm not discounting, throwing away what my mom and daddy did. I am supposed to build on it. That means I should have a higher dimension than the dimension that they were in. Amen. In my mother's day, there were people that would only go to the sixth grade, and then they would go through life with the sixth grade education. Is that what we try to do today? I don't think so. I think we try to go to schools of higher learning so that we can enjoy a better life, so that we can enjoy the life they seeded into. Hallelujah. See? So, I mean, just as we get to the things of God, let's not just get goofy. Let's not just become static there. The Bible says it this way, that we've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witness. Why? So that we won't stay in the place that they were in. They're watching to see if we're going to grow, if we're going to expand, if we're going to dig deeper in it. See? We're supposed to go into a more excellent glory. A glory that excelleth. See, we're supposed to participate. It is expected that we would participate in that. Jesus himself gave us that opportunity. He said, and greater works than these shall you do. Because I, who was the author, the developer of faith, I'm going to give you the opportunity to use that as a stepping stone. To go to the greater. Well, then I would say then, submit to you, that if we don't go to the greater, we're probably not pleasing him. Because he said, greater works than this shall you do. Amen. See? Because he said so. That's all this is really referencing. So then you can ask yourself, have you been allowing afflictions, persecutions, offense, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in to cause the word to be unfruitful? Please notice that the enemy always wants to replace your victory with something else. He doesn't replace it with a promise. He replaces it with a calm promise, a compromise. something like. In Isaiah chapter 36, verses 13 through 17, and 2 Chronicles 28 also, the same account is given. And there was the children of Israel were in a battle, and the enemy, the king of Assyria, came and tried to talk them out of their victory. And so then, I would just ask you, is the devil using persecution and affliction, offense, to talk you out of your victory? Isaiah 36, verses 13 through 17. And again, study the whole chapter there, just so that you can get the understanding of how the devil was doing this. This was all done vocally. In verse 13, it says, then Rabbi Shaket stood and cried with a loud voice. What was he doing? He was talking. He was speaking. He was shouting. And he did this in the Jews' language. Okay? And he said, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for you shall not be, he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, will deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. Hearken not unto Hezekiah. But thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. Come out to me and eat every one of his own vine and of his own fig tree, and drink every one of his waters of his own cistern, till I come and take you away to a land like your land. And then you can tell he lying, but listen to what he says. A land like your land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. That's not what God promised you. He promised you a land that flows with milk and honey. Glory to God. But here, the devil or the king of Assyria, which was a type of, okay, the devil, he said, I'm going to take you into a land that's like your own, a land of corn and wine. Interesting. You do know that they make corn alcohol, don't you? And they use wine to get drunk. You do know that, right? So the devil says, I'm going to take you into a land of deception, a land that you have to be drunk to live in. Come on, y'all. See? A land that satisfies lust, a land of bread and more wine, vineyards, grapes, concord, wine. Kind of interesting there. God said a land of milk and honey. Milk, when babies first get here, we give them milk. That means they can have substance from that, can't they? Amen. And not only can they have substance, he said a land of milk and honey. Not only is honey nutritious, but honey also represents you having the ability to forget about the bitter that you lived. See, not because you're drunk. Not because you're drunk, but because you have been delivered, because now you can be satisfied. Glory to God. You can be filled now. I haven't known anybody that ever got filled by wine. You can be drunk till you can't support no more in your belly, but that didn't make you full. There was no nourishment in it, was it? Amen. You were still empty with the belly that could not receive. Not full. There's a difference. Okay. Well, let's just look at it this way. When you have received sustenance, you have energy to do. When you're drunk, all you do is fall down. Yeah. Amen. See, you become incapacitated from the alcohol, but when you have been supplied with nourishment, you can have the strength to do what's next. See, but here he's trying to tell you he's going to give you something like what you had. See, he always replaces the promise with a compromise. We studied last time and understood that faith is the language. I told you this earlier just a minute ago. Faith is the language. See? And it is the exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to men. So then if I'm not having the right communication, I can't get the exchange, can I? It is a language and exchange currency. If I'm not talking right, what am I going to exchange? I didn't bring faith. Oh, come on, come on. I didn't bring faith so I cannot get substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I didn't bring faith so I don't get the substance. I brought my idea, my way of thinking, and it still was empty. My idea can represent pride. Pride ain't never caused me to win. It didn't give me strength. Pride took my strength. Amen. And Jesus says that if you've been functioning from this kind of a deception, trying to get strength just by pride, he says, come unto me if you labor and you're heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See? When you come and then you connect with me, the thing I'm going to give you is understanding. The entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. Okay? It did not give a good feeling. Come on now. Alcohol. Drugs. It didn't give a good feeling. It gave understanding. Glory to God. It gave you the ability to see. Entrance of his word giveth light. See? So then you don't have to fumble around in darkness. You can walk in victory. See? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. Come on now, come on, come on. What did he say? He said, you're going to find what? You're going to find rest. He didn't say you're going to just keep on hearing about a promise that never happened. He says, if you come and take my yoke, you will then find rest. See? If you exchange where you've been and be connected to where I'm taking you, you'll find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See? When we participate in the heavenly language, all languages must be learned in order to be effective. All languages. In order to get blessed by the language, you're going to have to learn the language because he said so. Because we've heard promises. And I guess what we thought is that was a good sounding thing. I enjoyed hearing that. Well, that's not why the gospel was sent to you. He did not send his word to you so that you would like it. He sent it so that you can be healed. I mean, there is a difference. The more you understand and can discern from the Spirit, by the Spirit, then the more you will be able to overcome the stuff that's facing you. Because you will receive strength, nourishment from the Word. That's why he says stuff like, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See? Because you can then overcome all the fiery darts of the wicked. See? I mean, when we use the word correctly, the word positions us for victory every time, all the time. Now, just because you heard it and you liked it does not mean you're going to function in it. See, you have to take unto you the whole armor of God. Take it. Notice, please, notice, he didn't just say hear it. He said take it, didn't he? Ephesians chapter 6. See? He said take it. If you don't purpose, yes, sir. When you take something, the connotation is that you expect to use it. Amen. So then when you have expectation of using it, it will cause you to end up in victory because the word, he always causes you to triumph. See? So then my questions would be, okay, do you have another definition for the word always, except always, perpetually, without end? So then if the word that you are utilizing has not caused victory, I don't know where you went wrong. Because the word that he sent, he always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. And I can appreciate the thought that the word causes you to have patience and endurance. I can appreciate that. But he said he was going to give you what? Victory. Amen. He was not just trying to give you endurance. He was not just trying to give you patience. Patience actually technically means that you are consistently, constantly the same. Okay? So then when you let patience have a perfect work with you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, you are consistently, constantly the same. That means you are moving in the things of God, expecting victory, finding victory, walking in victory. Not just talking about victory. See, this is some. So this ain't no pie in the sky. This is some ham where I am. Some steak on my plate. See, this is what we're supposed to have, because he said he has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in truth. Well, why should you walk in truth? Because when you walk in truth, Jesus said, truth has the responsibility of making you free. Not setting you free, making you free. The difference is I can set you in the middle of the street and tell you to go here, there, or other place, but you don't have the equipment to get to that place. But when I make you free, it matters not where you are. You will end up in freedom. You will have the equipment and the wherewithal to end up in freedom. Because sometimes it looks like the way it feels that we've been set in the middle of a circumstance that we still don't know how to win in. Set me free. We had a goosebump experience, but now we can't end up in victory. We just end up looking for another goosebump experience. See? But when you hear truth, Jesus said, the truth then will make you free. It will not just take you to another goosebump. So you have to learn the language of faith for it to be effective. And I don't have a problem with you rehearsing over and over and over again, but you should have the expectation of what was said starting you out on the path of victory. See, I'm not trying to get to victory. I start with victory. Amen. There's the biggest difference that I see. Gave me the victory. He didn't just give me the path. That would be okay, I guess, but he didn't give me the path. He gave me victory. See, that changes things, doesn't it? When I give you a $20 bill, you now have the means whereby you can execute whatever is necessary for that $20 bill. I didn't just give you the promise of a $20 bill. That would be very frustrating. Oh, I'm going to give you $20. Oh, I'm going to give you $20. Oh, I'm going to give you $20. No, that didn't do no good. I'm going to need to get them 20. See? And that's what he gave me, victory. He didn't give me promise again. He gave me victory. See, as we participate in learning the heavenly language, then we have to increase our vocabulary building and our intentional proper use. That's why you study to show yourself approved unto God. Because you're going to increase your vocabulary. That's what they did for us in elementary school. They gave you what they called vocabulary words. And you would study those vocabulary words. And as you study those vocabulary words, they would then move to vocabulary sentences, weren't they? Vocabulary paragraphs. Amen. And now you're understanding the language. Amen. Okay. Then you have to go to intentional proper use. That's why I say faith is the language. If faith comes by hearing, that would let us know it's connected to language. Wouldn't that be? And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then this is what you're going to do. You're going to be my disciples or disciplined in what you do. And then you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice the gradation that we just went through. He says, if you continue in the word's going to work on you. Then when you decide that you're going to abide in the word that's working on you, he says, then you'll be able to talk better. You'll be able to ask what you will, and it'll be given you. See? Now you can tell if we're getting better at this, okay? You can tell you're getting better because the things that you say, you'll have whatsoever you say. Amen. You'll tell you're getting better at this thing. I'm not just continually reciting prayers because this is what we're supposed to do, check the box off. No, I'm growing from faith to faith. See? And then I'm learning that the things that I say, and I believe that I have I believe what I say, that I will have whatsoever I say it. See? I grow into that I have earnest expectation of good, earnest expectation of time spent. I have earnest expectation of good. I have released faith, and faith brings to pass those things that I need in my life, substance. Because faith was birthed in victory. Okay? So then since it was birthed in victory, it perpetuates victory. Now you're clean. Through the word I've spoken unto you. It was birthed in victory, and my words in you. Still at John 15. Faith is made evident and displayed through thoughts, concepts, belief, words, actions, attitudes, emotions, participation, and understanding. I'll say that again. Faith is made evident. And it's displayed through thoughts, concepts, beliefs, words, actions, attitudes, emotions, participation, and understanding. When a baby first learns to talk, they don't understand. They're just mimicking words that they might have heard. I'll even go further. Or releasing words that they made up. Hallelujah. Releasing sounds. Okay, we won't even call them words. Releasing sounds that they made up, that they thought they heard. Come on now. Baby language. They're just regurgitating sounds that they thought they heard. They're not even necessarily words yet. But we will attribute to them words because we have a heart connection with them. So does God. But then he expects that the words that you're saying will be the words that he's saying. If my words abide in you, continue in those words. Then those words that you say, that you understand, that you believed, you'll have whatsoever you saith. Then becomes active and unstoppable. When the words that you say are alive in your heart, when it's personal, it's possible. When it's impersonal, it's impossible. So I'm not just saying it because I heard it. It meant something to me. It's alive in me. When it's personal, it's possible. See? Because the one that believes, to him all things are possible. When it's personal, it's possible. If it's impersonal, it don't mean nothing to you. If you're just quoting, if you're a parrot, if it's impersonal, it is also impossible. Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 14. This is all just kind of review, catching up. There's some other stuff that comes to it, but it's these have to be foundational in us. We have to have this, beloved. See, because I have experienced a ton of people that would like to have the flow of God in their life, and they're just saying what they heard someone else say. They even do what the seven sons of Sceva did. They say, I adjure you by this Christ that Paul preacheth. You're saying what everybody else said. They didn't get no victory. They got whooped. All of them was wounded, naked, because it was not their revelation. See, it has to be personal for it to be possible. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus, he displays this and he speaks this. I want you to know that the display that Jesus left is not any different than the word that Jesus spoke. Amen. His actions and his words were the same. So must our actions and our words be the same. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Our words and our actions, corresponding actions. So Jesus was always trying to get it to us so that we can see it, so that we can hear it and see it, so that we can understand it because we saw it in action. We can understand it because the Holy Spirit brought it to action in us. God cannot do anything for you if he doesn't first do something in you. It has to be alive in you first. See? If it's not alive in you, if it doesn't have a place of residence in you, it can't work for you. You're not connected. You're not connected to what you're not committed to. Come on, y'all. Wow. Matthew chapter 14, starting verse 14. If you're not connected to it, you can't be committed to it. If you're not committed to it, you cannot be connected to it. Jesus went forth in verse 14 and saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion. He was connected to it. The reason that it worked, come on, whew, I hope y'all see this. See, he displayed it and he spoke it. He lived it and he said it. See, He saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and because he was connected to it, it moved him. Did you see that? Compassion that Jesus had moved him to an action, and he healed their sick. See, we're not connected to the promise, so then the promise does not effectuate change for us. See, if you're connected to it, committed to it, see, that's when you see it work. Jesus was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when evening was come, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is past. Send the multitude away that they may go to villages and buy themselves some victuals." Wait a minute, see, the disciples were not connected, were they? They were not committed, were they? Jesus, get these people out of here. Send them home. Let them get their own stuff. And Jesus said, because Jesus was connected, he was moved with compassion, he was committed to them. He said, they don't need to depart. Become connected. You give them something to eat. And then they said, no, we don't understand how you're talking like that. See, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. See, they were still after Jesus. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Verse 16 of chapter 14 said, they don't need to depart. You give them something to eat. That was a directive. Is that correct? And they were not connected to that directive. They said, we ain't got enough to do it. How many of the promises of God have you heard that you're not connected to? We still can't do. I heard you say that, Jesus, but we can't do that. You're not committed. You're not connected. So because you're not connected, you cannot enjoy the same dimension that Jesus invited you to. I'll try this. The commandment of God is also an invitation for you to go from one dimension to another. Amen. Write that one down. The commandment of God, the commandments of God are an invitation for you to go from one dimension to another. Thou shalt not. Now he's trying to tell you, do this. The commandments of God are an invitation for you to go from one dimension to another. Wow. See, because the commandments of God are not grievous. They are invitations. Forgive if you have aught against any. That's the commandment. That is an invitation for you to live in the dimension of love. My God. I'm preaching myself happy right there. See, but a lot of times we'll hear a promise and we'll still argue with the promise and say, we can't do it. You didn't hear the commandment as an invitation for you to operate at a higher dimension. But we don't have enough. We ain't got but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, bring them to me. There has to be a transfer, beloved. That's why he told them again. He's showing them and speaking to them, teaching them and walking it out in front of them. Bring them to me. There has to be a transfer of kingdoms. That's why he told them, bring me what you got. Let's transfer it from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of our God. And then he set order. See, he's teaching them things. See? He's teaching them how to multiply through blessing and thanksgiving through order. See? He's teaching them that right here. They had two fish and five loaves. And he commanded them to do things in order. He said, tell them to sit down on the grass. It's interesting that he told them to sit down in abundance. In a desert place, y'all. Come on now. It is a desert place. And he said, in the desert place, there is abundance. Grass is everywhere, ain't it? Amen. Even in a desert. And he told them to sit the people down in the grass. Sit them in abundance. Is that not what God has done for us? If we abide in him, he set us in abundance. All of our needs are met in Christ Jesus. And he put us in Christ Jesus. See, he set us in abundance. It's just that sometimes we don't look at the thing the way God has spoken it. Oh, this is just good. We don't look at it the way God spoke it. Don't you send them off. You give them something to eat. We came. Did he just tell you to? Well, that commandment was an invitation unto abundance. Amen. And then Jesus did this. He took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed. He gave thanks. He's teaching us how to multiply through blessing and have thanksgiving through order. See? And he blessed. And then he gave what he blessed to his disciples. He didn't. Come on, y'all. Come on. He did not inspect what he blessed. He gave what he blessed. Oh, my goodness. See, he's functioning in faith. Once it was blessed, once it has changed kingdoms, then there's no need to inspect it, look at it to see if it's going to work. It has already changed kingdoms. Once he blessed it, he gave it to the disciples. It is now active, isn't it? And then the disciples, now they can see faith working. Well, let's just try to. The reason why you can know that they saw faith working is because if he gave it to the disciples, it wasn't but two fish. It was 12 disciples. Come on now. Right there, they saw that faith was working in the words of Jesus. Before they even got to the people. Because he gave that to the disciples. And the two had to multiply right there. So they saw the faith working. And then they say, well, at least we can feed them on Jesus' faith. But God, Jesus is not trying to get them to feed them on his faith. He was trying to invite them into that same faith. So today, if you would hear his voice, harden not your heart. Amen. Say, since I knew Jesus just did it, he just invited me into that same faith. And I can live off of this faith because the just live by faith. He gave the loaves to the disciples. So those five loaves, again, I don't care what happened, just doing the math. Five loaves, 12 disciples. So multiplication had to already have happened. Faith was already being seen. And then the disciples took that operation of faith from the 12 to the multitude. and they did all eat, verse 20, and were filled. And then the faith, come on now, see, he's going to give you the faith, and then out of the faith bring a seed. Because they took up the fragments that remained, and there was 12 baskets full. That's the seed for the next time, ain't it? For the next miracle. For the next whatever the need is. They took up after every, I don't know, maybe you don't think this way, but if I have free food, I'm going to eat till I'm showing up having to be rolled up out of there. Amen. It was 5,000 men. That's what it just said here. And there were 12 baskets, verse 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and the children. I mean, do you see this? Something that was, they said was impossible. We ain't got enough. Two and five. In the book of John, when he described this, it says, what is that except all of them can get a little? But Jesus didn't give them a little. They were all filled. And then they took up the that which remained, not just so that nothing would be left. That's good, sir. When they took it up, again, they get to see miracles happening. Because they are the ones that said, we ain't got but two fish, five pieces of bread. And they took up enough for each one of them. It didn't say they took up 12 baskets of fish and bread, took up 12 baskets of fish and also 12 baskets of bread. And even if it wasn't but 12 baskets of both, they started out with two fish, five pieces. Again, they saw the miracle after the, come on, y'all, that's good, that's good. They saw the miracle after the miracle. Whew. I hope you're getting this. There is a, that, we can preach that. There's a miracle after the miracle. Glory to God. After God then did what was necessary, there is still a miracle after the miracle. Because now you get to tell people about the miracle. There is a miracle after the miracle because there's a miracle in your mouth. Amen. And then watch this again. Because listen to what Jesus says to them. Okay, I told you there was a miracle after the miracle, and he's going to give us another miracle. Here comes another miracle. Watch this. And verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent dudes away. Okay? So he told his disciples, this is the verbal part of a miracle. He told his disciples to do what? To go to the other side. Don't forget that as soon as Jesus sows a word, the thief comes to do what? Steal that word. Okay? And verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary to them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went up to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Circle that for me. They cried out for fear. Notice. Jesus spoke to them and gave them the power of the miracle when he spoke to them and said, go before me to the other side. He did not tell them, play in the middle of the water. He told them to go to the other side. Now, they didn't hear the word and the miracle in the word. They went back because they were fishermen. And so they thought they knew, understood, and perceived the sea. They knew and understood the wind. And so because the wind was contrary to them, they said, we must not be able to do what he told us to do, even though he told us to do what he told us to do when he said, feed them. See, the miracle after the miracle that remains, because the word is still here, still present. But they forgot that the word spoken was what caused the first miracle. But the wind was contrary to them. They were tossed with waves. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on what was troubling them, because he said, go to the other side. He was walking on the word that he gave to them. In one of the scriptures, it said, let us go over to the other side. That was the word to carry him right there, wasn't it? He constrained them, gave them a commandment, and the commandment was an invitation for them to operate in the next dimension. And so he went to them walking on their trouble. And they saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled and said, it's a spirit. And instead of saying, Lord, they said, fear, come here. They cried out and invited fear. Wow. Okay, let's go there. Jesus gave them a commandment which invites them into the next level of the dimension that they should be going into, and they cried out for fear rather than crying the promise out. How many times? Come on, y'all. Just how many times have we done that? God gave us a promise, and we cried out for fear. Say, there's no way this can happen. It's not personal, so it can't be possible. They cried out for fear, that which was familiar to them, operating in the same dimension that they operated in before, even though they had experienced, wow, I hadn't thought about that, they had experienced a miracle. What did they do with the baskets that were full? Just as a point of reference, let me just think about that. They didn't give it to the people that had eaten. They had the baskets, didn't they? So not only had they seen the miracle, they were carrying the miracle to the other side. Those were their baskets. So then they were carrying their full baskets to the other side. They were carrying the miracle too. But they forgot the miracle and forgot that they were carrying the miracle. And they called out for that which was convenient to them, that which was they had operating in times past, the comfortable thing. But immediately, because whenever Jesus sees fear, he deals with fear immediately. It said they cried out for fear, but straightway, immediately, Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer. Wait a minute. He says, I need for you to stop being afraid. I need for you to be bold. Isn't that what he told Joshua? He said, be of a good courage. See? He said, fear not. Be of a good courage. Every place the soles of your feet, I've already given it to you, Josh. I'm going to be with you, Josh, just like I was with Moses. There shall not be any man that be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Only be thou courageous. Be thou very courageous. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then Peter answered, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. So then Peter said, Lord, show me another miracle. Because it's not normal for people to just go walking on the water. But at least Peter had the nerve to ask him to show him another miracle. How many of us just say, Lord, help me here? Peter said, if you want me to operate in this other dimension, tell me to come to you. I want to come. I thought I can come. But tell me. And she said, if it be you, Lord, bid me to come to thee on the water. Well, Jesus couldn't say you can't walk because it was him. Since it was him, the only response he could make was, come on down, walk on the water. He said, come. Wow. And with that one word, come on, with that one word, while Jesus was in their presence, Peter was actually able to function in. So Peter was come down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. It has been said that Peter actually didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word come. Because that was the only thing that was different. The water was there all the time. But Jesus said to him what he had said to Jesus. If it's you, Lord, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And he walked, got out the ship. Come on, y'all. Walk through this with me. Peter got out of the ship on that word come. And he walked on the water on that word come. And he started going to Jesus on that word come. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Remember, the thief comes to take the word that was sown out of your in your hearts. He comes to steal it by whatever, persecution, affliction, offense, the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, they enter in. So he saw the winds boisterous. He saw the waves that he shouldn't be walking on. That information entered into his heart and he began to sink. And he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand, called him, and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. See, the word that he gave was a word that was able to deal with every situation, the wind, the wage, the stagnation of their movement across there to get to the other side. So then I'm just asking, will you function in the life that he's called you to, invited you to, by commanding you to do something that you've not done before? Because very serious, very clearly we can see that commandment for them to do what they didn't know how to do was enough for them to do it. He showed it to them on land. He showed it to them on the sea. But I'll ask you, what will it take for you to function by the promise that he's given to you, the word that he sent to heal you and to deliver you? That same word, come. That same word, believe. What will it take for you? Getting to the end of frustration, or just hearing that word of faith that he's speaking, the gospel, the good news sent to you? Your way or God's way? He's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word that you sent to deliver us, to heal us, to cause us to have victory in every situation. Thank you for that word. We will listen for that promise. We will listen for that admonition and commandment so that we can do that which is personal to us because it's possible to us. That we will come out of frustration, anxieties and fears, defeats and sorrows. That we will enter into the joy of the Lord that was spoken to us to bring us out of darkness, to bring us into victory in all things. Thank you, Father, for causing us to grow up in you and become sensitive to your word. We commit it to you now. It's done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, beloved, as I said in the beginning, take a pen and paper and write down any questions or comments that you would have for the ministry. So if we'll give you an opportunity to do that, 678-373-9688. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? 678-373-9688. You have the mic. Any comments or questions? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Area code 678-469-7930. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? 678-469-7930. Go ahead. The mic is in your hand. Any questions or comments? And again, I say to you, as the Bible says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So if you have any comments, this is not a place for a condemnation or, that's stupid. No, we grow thereby. So that's why I give you an opportunity to ask any questions or give comments, because iron sharpens iron. So area code 404-490-7875. 404-490-7875. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Go ahead.
Faith is a powerful thing, you know. Faith is very powerful.
Say it again. I can barely hear you. Yeah, amen, it was powerful. It was powerful to me while I was seeing it. Because I hear it as I say it. I studied it, but I hear it as I say it because it's fresh to me too.
Oh, that was amazing.
I promise you. I studied it. I wrote down some of the things that I wrote down. But God takes it in a direction so that we can grow together. But I mean, as I said it, I didn't add to it, did I?
No, you did not.
That was exactly what was written there, and we can just see it. And so that helps us to grow, because then as you become more attentive to the word of God, more attentive to the voice of God, then you'll be able to grow, because he sent the word to cause us to come out of whatever mess we in. It didn't make a difference if it was on the earth or if it was in the water. I mean, he moved by his spirit, by his word in both cases. There's a miracle, and then there's a miracle after the miracle. Let's begin to live in that.
After that. Yes.
Yeah, he keeps on. He's the same yesterday,
amen,
and today, and forever. Amen.
Yeah.
So glad to have you on the call. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Glad to have you on the call. Everyone that was a participant tonight on the call, just want to remind you that if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, then go ahead and be obedient to the Lord, because as you give, he'll make sure that he's not willing to do without a cheerful giver, and will cause all grace to abound towards you, so that you will always, under all circumstances, will be self-sufficient, not needing any help from anybody else, but you are connected to him, and he would cause the flow of his grace to just make things happen for you. So just be obedient. Go to livedeliverance.com. Look for the donate tab and go ahead and give as the Lord has prompted you. That's the way you honor the servant of the Lord, is by giving. Just by saying thank you, is not honoring. That's just acknowledging. But it's going to be necessary for us in these days to learn how to walk in the principles of God. So honor the Lord by giving. Okay? Let's do it. He commanded, and you have the invitation to go to a new dimension because of that command. So let's just go ahead and get that done. So then, again, I just like to say to you, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. So until the next time we gather, be blessed.